populations of animals. I mean, think about the white-tailed deer and how when Ed started, and maybe even before Ed a little bit, they started, you know, working to bring these populations back. And now we have these sustainable populations that we can hunt.
Yeah.
You know, the story of the eastern wild turkey and what's happening with turkeys. So I would consider all these things great successes. The conservation efforts that have been worked on by the personnel for years, I would think that it's a great success story for our state.
You're going to see some footage from an old film that was produced here at the agency in the Game and Fish days, and which shows some things like, you know, the wife taking care of the animal that the officer, the husband, had to bring home to take care of, you know, because they got a call. And times have changed. Now we have the rehabilitators that help out with that kind of thing. And
thank goodness. We got to be really good friends with some of those little animals. And my first commission in 1972.
Okay. Yeah.
At that time, it was a little different. You know, the whole law enforcement world was different then. Yeah. So anyway, we got the first commission in 1972 and worked all over the state. It was really great to be able to do that. Pretty much, you had one uniform. And I noticed in the movie, too, everybody wearing ties, you know, for years and years. You had to, if you wore a long sleeve shirt, you had to wear a tie. It didn't matter if you were doing enforcement or standing in a pond or whatever you were doing, you had that tie on.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And then everybody looked forward. There was one date, and it kind of moved. But generally around April 1st, you switched from long sleeves to short sleeves, and you didn't have to wear a tie. And everybody's going, come on, April 1st.
Won't you take me back to Tennessee?
The award-winning Tennessee Wildcast is on the air with the latest info about hunting, fishing, boating, wildlife watching, and all things outdoors. This year, we celebrate the men and women of the TWRA responsible for 75 years of wildlife conservation. Now make welcome your host, Jason Harmon.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Tennessee Wildcast. I'm Jason Harmon. Glad you're tuning in. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We got a great show lined up for
we
you today.
We do. We have the directors in the house.
Yeah. Director Jason Maxedon, our current director here at TWRA, and then Ed Carter, a past director. We're so glad to have you both here today.
Glad to be here, Jason.
Interesting yes. point is one's from the west part of the state.
That's right.
Another was from the east part of the state. So, hey, we got it covered tip to tip.
Yeah, that's a cool fact.
This show,
yeah. Didn't think about it. So, West Tennessee born and raised, and East Tennessee born and raised, and now they call Middle Tennessee home.
Yeah, exactly. End up
well,
in
sometimes,
Nashville.
Right? Well, do you want to kick off a radio station
sure,
real quick,
yeah.
Don? Then we'll jump into this fun show.
McMinnville's WBMC 960. We're on the Wildcast on Sunday afternoons, 12:30 to 1. So tune us in there or on one of the other 30-plus radio stations across the state. We appreciate our radio partners.
We do.
Every day.
Very much so. Speaking of West and East, our radio stations cover the whole state, so we appreciate
exactly. yep.
folks running the show, and it's just great to be out there on the radio.
It is.
Well, today it's all about kind of looking back over 75 years of wildlife conservation, and you guys have been at the top of the top of that chart there and leading the agency. And I just thought it'd be fun to get you guys back in and reflect on your years of work and past experiences and just kind of a storytelling time, you know, and
yeah.
looking back. So I appreciate you guys being here.
I'll just have to say, if I start telling stories, you can do like my wife. She goes, you've already told that five times or three times. So you can cut me off.
Too much detail. Do not. Well, let's jump in and just intro each other. Jason, let's start with you and just tell us a little bit about your background, your work history, kind of how you came up through the agency and a little bit about where we are today.
All right. Well, I started September 1st, opening day of dove season in 2000. So been working almost 24 years. Be 24 years this coming September. And my first job with the agency, I started out as the wetlands wildlife forester. And we were talking about Director Gary Myers a little bit earlier, but
yeah.
I think that was a newly formed position. I was the first one to get to serve in that role. And basically what we would do was go out and manage the bottom and hardwoods of West Tennessee. Did the first timber sale that we ever got to do as a wildlife agency out there. And then bottom and hardwood restoration. I think to date we've restored about 10,000 acres of bottom and hardwood. So that was my first role with the agency. And then after that, I got what I always call my dream job. I always wanted to be a wildlife officer for TWRA and didn't get to do that. That was not a commission position the first 10 years in the forester job.
Okay.
And so my second job was the manager, a wildlife manager too, over the lower Old Mine Wetland Complex. So a lot of the different WMAs and one refuge along the Mississippi and the lower Old Mine River, and got commissioned, got to become that wildlife officer after all in that position. And
awesome.
I always say that was my favorite role within the agency. After that, I moved up to the Region 1 Wildlife Program Manager, and that was out of our Jackson Region 1 office, where I served there for a little over a year.
Uh-huh.
And basically, that's over all the WMA operations in Region 1 from the Tennessee River to the Mississippi River. And then when Director Carter retired, I got to come up to the Nashville office as the deputy director over the field operations side. Did that for 2 years under the direction of Bobby Wilson as director, and then have been the director for coming up on 2 years here now.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. Had a great career. You grew up in the outdoors, right? I mean, you can't work in the agency and not have that background. So you love to hunt and fish and get outside, right?
I love it. I can remember, I was thinking back, you know, starting with my dad really at age 6, just tagging along, rabbit and quail hunting. We would go sauger fishing on the Tennessee River with an uncle. You probably knew P.J. Maxson. I know the director knew him, but he would take us sauger fishing. So I got to do that at a young age, and just my passion just grew for the outdoors, and that's how I got into the field.
Awesome. That's awesome. Well, Ed, your background, a little different. I mean, you've worked in different divisions across the agency and now retired.
And even started when we were game and fish.
Right.
Before the transition to Wildlife Resources Agency.
So that's really cool. Tell us a little bit about your background there.
Well, I came to work in 1972, which seems like a long time ago. But anyway, I started out, the agency did live animal exhibits at all the fairs across the state and the county fairs. And so I started doing that, you know, taking animals around, setting up the displays and staying with them until that was over. So that was the first part of my job. And I moved into the hunter education, what's called hunter safety coordinator at the time. Stayed in that for a little while, but that moved into the law enforcement division and became training officer, and then after that I went to Region 2's assistant director, and then to chief of boating for about 19 years, and then in 2009 became director.
Yeah, awesome. Were you commissioned from the start?
Got my first commission in 1972.
Okay, yeah.
At that time, it was a little different. You know, the whole law enforcement world was different then. So anyway, I got my first commission in 1972 and worked all over the state. It was really great to be able to do that. So never had a county wildlife officer position, but I worked from one end to the other, and that gave me a great perspective on things, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, we don't haul animals around these days and show them around, but I think that's pretty cool that back in the day that was one of the roles here at the agency.
One of the crazy parts was, what do you do with those animals when the fair's not going on?
Well, you know, at that time there were very few rehabbers, wildlife rehabilitation folks.
Yeah.
So most of the animals that we had, whatever local fair was going to be, the officers and the biologists and everybody would get all kinds of what they would call abandoned animals, sick animals, injured animals. And most of those we would try to rehab ourselves. And while they're rehabbing, we'd use them in the fair exhibits. And then in the fall, if we could, turn them back loose. And it was kind of different. We got to be really good friends with some of those little animals. And I remember going up by my dad and mom's house as we were on our way to the Knoxville Fair, and I had a whole back seat full of raccoon cubs. Didn't know that they had an upset stomach at the time. I took them in and turned them loose in mom's house, and that bedspread was never the same.
You're going to see some footage from an old film that was produced here at the agency in the Game and Fish days. And in that film, it shows some things like, you know, the wife taking care of the animal that the officer, the husband, had to bring home to take care of, you know, because they got a call and things like that. So it's times have changed. Now we have the rehabilitators that help out with that kind of thing. And
thank goodness.
Yeah, definitely. thank you for that, for sure. But so outdoor, you grew up in the outdoors, right? I mean, hunting and fishing.
Did. I grew up in kind of a rural area. hunting fish with Dad and my brother and sometimes my sister. Till I hooked her so many times she'd never go back fishing. So anyway, we grew up that way. And I could come home from school and literally walk out the door. Dad took the bolt out of an old 22 when I was so young I didn't even know it wouldn't fire. And I squirrel hunted by myself with no gun that would fire for quite some time. But yeah, those kind of things. And he loved to fish. And that was probably his greatest pastime, but we had bird dogs and all that kind of thing, so it was fun.
Yeah, that's neat.
Very cool. That's awesome.
Director Maxedon, you know, I want to hit just a little moment on that bottomland hardwood project that you got involved in. And I mean, you shepherded that thing and made a huge difference in West Tennessee in the bottomland hardwoods. Just kind of give us a little bit of a rundown on how all that worked, collecting the acorns and that kind of stuff.
Well, it was a great project, a lot of fun. And so I did my graduate work at the University of Tennessee at Knoxville, and that's what I was working on was oak seedlings and mixed mass species production for wildlife. And so one of the things when, like I said, Director Myers actually started this position, I worked under John Gregory out of the Real Estate and Forestry Division then, and so they stationed me out there. And what we were doing was buying marginal farmlands, and basically that they were in crop production. They were lowlands that would flood frequently that probably really never should have been farmed that were once originally cleared.
Right.
And so we were going in and restoring those. And so we would do hydrology work where we would go in and actually restore some of the minor meanders that may be through those systems. And one of the neat things that we did, and I just kind of took an ag background, which I came from, and tried to manipulate that into figure out a way to plant these trees to make them survive, because it had been elusive to that point.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought, hey, they're rice farming just right across the river. So I thought, we need to put these things in at contours at 1 foot intervals, and we need to start matching tree species to site through elevation. And so, for example, a bald cypress, which can tolerate the most water tupelo bald cypress, the two that can tolerate the most water, would be at the lowest elevations.
Sure.
And oak species like cherry bark and swamp chestnut oak, which are your drier site bottomland species, would be at the highest elevation. And you would go out in this field, and there may be as much as 10 feet elevation change. To the eye, it looks flat, but there would be that much. So at the lowest elevations, we would plant those species of that could tolerate the most water, and the ones that could tolerate the least amount at the highest elevation.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of a new way to do things, and it was successful. We were having about 98 to 100% success with the seedlings once we started that program.
That's great.
Well, that kind of leads us into my next question, was successes and things that you've seen over your time. That's one right there, successful in that adventure there. What's something else that stood out to you in your career that's stood out as a success or a hurdle or that kind of thing?
Well, Director Carter and them started a lot of good things that we've been able to build on as
sure,
an agency.
Sure, definitely.
You know, probably one of the biggest thing is just relationships with partners. We just recognized a partnership with Farm Bureau at our last commission meeting that I know the director worked really hard to get that relationship going. And just those relationships with those partners have been big. The populations of animals. I mean, think about the white-tailed deer and how when Ed started, and maybe even before Ed a little bit, they started, you know, working to bring these populations back. And now we have these sustainable populations that we can hunt.
Yeah.
You know, the story of the eastern wild turkey and what's happening with turkeys. So I would consider all these things great successes. The conservation efforts that have been worked on by the personnel for years, I would think that it's a great success story for our state.
Yeah. Well, Ed, so you probably got a chance to release some of those deer and release some of those turkeys and be a part of some of that in your career.
I did. It was so good because it spilled across every division in the agency. It didn't matter which division you were in. You could go trap turkeys because you're always short of people. So that we released turkeys sometimes in places we didn't mean to, but anyway, we moved deer, we moved turkey, and it is amazing because it was such a great effort on everybody in the agency. And I never saw a deer in the wild in my life until I moved to Middle Tennessee and saw some of those. And then the turkeys, of course, they have really responded.
Yeah.
It's been great.
That's cool that you mentioned that, because even today, I mean, folks are jumping out there and helping. Like, just, we had the NAS tournament a couple weeks ago, and
all hands on deck.
All hands on deck. People are volunteering to help do that scoring and thing. And then you got the turkey trapping, where you're abandoning some turkeys, and people are on board helping with that. You know, it takes a lot of people, and sometimes you pull in whoever you can to help.
And boating is another thing where folks get pulled in, you know, to help on busy weekends and things like that. Yeah.
You know, the opening weekend of deer season years ago was a huge, huge, big deal.
Uh-huh.
And I remember even our maintenance people were pulled in on those weekends to help work those areas because we were so shorthanded. Everything from, you know, the checking stations that you used to have to take your deer to and check it in. And that was a huge effort. And even college kids would come in and help. So, yeah, it really is an all hands on deck type thing in a lot of situations. And boating was the same way.
And during those times, or those early times, there weren't green trucks with nice logos on the side either. There were in 10-8, we'll see that there's a 59 Chevy with tail fins that are at least 6 feet long on each side. You know, you can picture, you got a middle. Yeah. Okay. We got a picture of that we need to show.
Yeah,
nobody had agency vehicles hardly at all. There were a few for specific things, but about all you had was your car and a radio, and the radio, the box that went to the radio, literally was about this big and took up most of your trunk.
Wow.
And it was quite, and then you had to dial as you went across the state. There were towers. You had a telephone dial on your dashboard, and you'd dial whatever tower you were going to. Well, nobody told me how to use that radio. I'd go across the state, and I thought you had to dial it to be able to talk. Well, I didn't have to say anything, but I wanted to listen, so I'd dial it in. People going, somebody keeps opening these towers and never says anything. Oh, I thought you had to do that. And, oh, no. But anyway, that was about the only communications. There weren't any cell phones, and you had to go to a pay phone for the most part anywhere on the road that you could find one. If you didn't have a dime or a quarter, you're out of luck. So
yeah. Wow. So you had your own car, an issued radio, an issued firearm, I guess, a sidearm, and then a badge, pretty much.
That was, yeah. And then even the uniforms then were – pretty much you had one uniform. And I noticed in the movie too, everybody wearing ties, you know, for years and years. You had to, if you wore a long sleeve shirt, you had to wear a tie. It didn't matter if you were doing enforcement or sanding a pond or whatever you're doing, you had that tie on.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And then everybody looked forward. There was one date and it kind of moved. It was generally around April 1st. You switched from long sleeves to short sleeves and you didn't have to wear a tie. And everybody's going, come on, April 1st.
So when you started, Jason, probably didn't have cell phones either, did we? Or did you have a cell phone? Did you have communication
We didn't have agency phones, but they were really new. The bag phones, really popular.
Oh,
then.
Yeah.
But we did not have those as agency employees.
Right. So you probably had the truck and a radio, and maybe a few more changes of clothes.
Well, we did. We had good uniform allotment, but we started out with truck radios, and then, you know, we evolved into the handheld radios that our officers use now a lot out in the field.
Yeah. Yeah, the technology has definitely changed.
Definitely better.
Yeah, the blue lights and sirens, all those weren't issued things. So if you had them, you put them on your car yourself. And everybody was issued a little bubble blue light.
Oh, yeah.
I could use a little bitty thing. And one guy who became our chief enforcement later had a Volkswagen Bug. That was his car. And he put that little bubble on top of the Volkswagen Bug, and it looked like a pimple on a pimple. Anyway, that was kind of a different way. But Gary Myers started that movement to get people into agency vehicles. And it was good because it's not cost-effective in most cases. I remember tearing the transmission out of one of my vehicles, pulling one of our bigger boats. I came in, I said, hey, I tore my transmission out. And they went, boy, that's sad.
That's too bad.
That was it.
Oh, wow.
Gosh, so yeah. I went and found enough money to fix my transmission. But anyway, it was different.
Definitely. And now, I mean, our officers, they have the body cams and our biologists are out there with the tools they need to do their work, and it's just, a lot has changed over the years, but all for the good.
It has. I mean, our officers are well equipped. You know, our officer is the most diverse officer in the state. We are very well trained as officers. Unfortunately, we have to do a lot of things like boating accident investigation, mm-hmm. and we've got a lot of new tools that we actually have a robot. It's an ROV, but it's kind of like a robot that goes underwater, and we use it for different recovery things, body recovery, unfortunately, but just to be able to be equipped with those things is very nice and helps us a lot in those investigations.
Yeah, definitely. You talk about the tools and equipped, but those officers and our biologists still going out, sharing the message of what the agency does and talking with school groups and just like they did back in the day, you know, and things really haven't changed that much other than maybe the technology and the mission's still the same. You know, it's you know,
our message about buying a license so we can do our work, you know, is still in place.
Yeah, we were looking back over some old commercials that, you know, Minnie Pearl and Tom T. Hall and some of those guys are doing for us back in the day, and it's the same message that we're pushing out today.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and, you know, over the years, so many things have changed, and unfortunately, in some cases, I think, but the old I guess the generic name, the mom-and-pop grocery stores and mom-and-pop little stores along the way. A lot of work was done inside those, talking to the people, putting the message out, exchanging information. You know, and now it's hard to find one of those. So that role of the officer, biologist, whomever, that used to be a big part of just meeting with people and being involved in local community activities. And sometimes that's even hard now because just like your metropolitan areas of Memphis and Davidson, Knox, you get into those counties and it's hard to find those little niches that everybody knows you. And at one time, you know, there's only one officer per county in a lot of places, and some places that hadn't changed yet, but people had to move to different spots all over to get the work done. And that still goes on.
I know for our folks, it's kind of a blessing and a curse, but there are instances when you're in uniform, you go have lunch someplace, and somebody from the public who you've never met before will come up and feel like they know you.
Yep.
You know, hey, you work for TWRA. I got a question for you. You know, and that happens all the time, doesn't it?
It does. If I can tell one quick story.
Yeah, yeah.
That goes on anywhere you go. That kind of thing happens. I'd been working all day, and it was our anniversary, so my wife and I were going to meet for supper. So we go out, and we meet at this little restaurant, sitting there, and this guy comes up and starts doing that, asking questions and talking, which is fine. But after a while, I'm going, well, you know, this is our anniversary. We're going to see treated motions, and moves my wife over and sits down with us. And then he starts asking, I said, well, you know, I appreciate this. We're trying to, you know, have a little anniversary. He's, you're not bothering me. So eventually he left and we finished our supper, but that happens all the time.
Yeah, you can't go to a grocery store or a gas station or something like that, and it's a good chance you're going to get stopped and ask questions, which we're good with that. I got stopped at the grocery store this past weekend. I was happy to answer the question, found the answer for the guy, and
it's great. They appreciate it. And
they do.
In a lot of ways, it shows how many people really like the wildlife species and the wildlife agency. Sure. It gives you a chance to interact.
Exactly.
Sure. Well, let's touch on the, you know, I&E turned into communications, and now we have the R3 and outreach division, you know, and you talked about the earlier fairs and going out and doing the live animals. Now we're still going to fairs here, you know, Wilson County Fair, now the State Fair. We're big presence there, presence out in at the what's the fair out in East Tennessee?
Appalachian.
Yeah.
That'd be Gray Fair.
Gray Fair, So we're still in those fairs and doing things like that. But I thought maybe, Jason, you could touch on the R3 efforts and the changes that you're seeing in your leadership here now, where we have the communications and marketing, and we've branched to R3 and outreach and the work going on right there.
Well, yeah, so, excuse me, so we just actually pulled that division out where it's separate, and R3 is retention, reactivation, and recruitment, and we're trying to retain hunters, reactivate hunters that may have gone out, and then bring in new hunters. And so we've got a flagship station called Buffalo Ridge Refuge, and it's designated just for outreach events. That started under Director Carter, and we've continued to build on it. We just acquired a new piece of property up on the plateau, and we're actually going to set aside a piece of that property. It's going to be Catoosa Ridge Refuge, and these are going to focus on outreach events. It's more important now than ever. We talk about growing up doing that, but a lot of our youth today are not growing up and doing the same things that we did as far as hunting and fishing. They just don't have the grandfathers or the fathers or even mothers to take them out, and so we're actually going out and recruiting folks to do this. We've got several different programs where we grant funds to partner organizations. The Hunting and Fishing Academy that we grant to the Tennessee Wildlife Federation, a great program that gets folks into hunting and angling. And so really just having this new flagship station once we get the facility built to bring folks in. The first time Fowler's Hunt, that's a great event that we just did with the Tennessee Wildlife Resources Foundation, where we took 60 ladies for the first time to ever go duck hunting. A great event that we pulled off, but it's just trying to bring those new folks in. One other new thing that we've done, we took the ranges that TWRA owns and moved those out of the law enforcement division and moved them into the R3 division. And so a lot of folks that are funding hunting and angling now are actually shooters. They don't necessarily hunt and fish. And so we're going to use that as a recruitment tool to go out and try to recruit those folks through programming to actually hopefully bring them into hunting and angling.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big group out there that love to shoot, you know, and that's
seems like a natural transition too.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, they're already halfway there. They've got a lot of the equipment they need.
And you guys know about the event that we just had up at John Sevier, Turkey Field Day, where they brought folks in. And so, you know, we use the range up there to try to be able to teach them a lot of things about turkey hunting, about what they're going to need, the sounds, everything that they would need. And we had a whole crew go up and actually work on that event. So a great outreach event.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're still hard at it, you know, doing some events, doing fairs like we talked about. Well, now we have more liberal deer seasons, the changes in the turkey, the elk. We have now elk in Tennessee, and you can hunt on the Ed Carter unit up there. But
if you can get drawn, I haven't been lucky enough yet.
Well, I didn't either. I didn't get drawn. But touch on some of those successes while we got a few more minutes left.
Well, I think it started with Director Carter and the folks. It actually started with the restocking programs. I mean, elk, when Director Carter was there, is a great thing. You know, now we have 19 tags that we give out to be able to hunt elk in East Tennessee. And think about that. I mean, that species had pretty much gone extinct. And we found some animals from Elk Island that we were able to bring in, and that population continues to grow. We're about 450 animals now, and we hope to continue to build on that and have more hunting. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the white-tailed deer. We have very liberal bag limits because we've had a sustainable population. You know, the agency manages a lot of property, about 1 million acres, and that's nice to be able to have that property to manage to bring these species back where you have sustainable populations to hunt.
Yeah.
You know, I was in Region 2. I remember in our little staff meeting one day, the regional manager said, "Do y'all realize there was 1,000 deer taken in Middle Tennessee last year? Can you imagine that?" And now, you know, one of the counties you mentioned, there's like 5,000 deer a year just in that one county. So that was different. And our non-game, which I know it's biodiversity or whatever, but non-game animals, those that aren't hunted or fished for, there's a lot of work being done on that, and a lot of restoration efforts still underway on a lot of those species.
Manage and protect all wildlife. All wildlife species. You know, that was the message in that video that we've been referencing, that film, and it's still the message today, you know. It's not just the game animals.
Right, right. Started out game and fish, and then, well, I guess the emphasis got slid a little bit when Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency came on board in 74, didn't it?
I mean, part of that was for that reason. They said, we want to make sure that everybody understands that we're for all wildlife and not just those who are hunted or fished for.
Right.
Which we'd always done, but maybe just wasn't as clear.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We wanted to kind of touch on things that are going to happen in the 75th anniversary season. A lot of events coming up this year, Director Maxidon. Just going to run down a quick list here, but Normandy Hatchery Open House in April, Bobby Wilson Free Fishing Day June 8th, Birds, Bees, Bucks and Trees event June 29th, Sunflower Festival July 6th at Forks of the River, Waterfowl Field Day August 6th, Bob White Heritage Festival October 5th. A lot of new stuff that we're trying to do, and some old stuff. Some of these have been around a while, but look forward to these events this year. Keep your eye out on our website, tnwildlife.org, for other events.
And speaking of Director Bobby Wilson,
yep,
we have him penciled in for a special wildcast coming up celebrating Free Fishing Day, especially since it's named after him now. Yeah. So what a cool thing.
Yeah, we'll get Bobby in here, previous director, chief of fisheries, and learn about his career and talk about Free Fishing Day. That'll be fun. Watch out for the new combo hunting and fishing guide this year. We're lumping those together, make it easier for the sportsman to have it all in one spot. So it's going to be a fun year. I appreciate you guys being here with us today.
Thank you all. I'm excited to see all the activities for the 75th celebration this year, but thank you.
And it's easy for me to remember. The agency and I were both created the same year, so 75 years is easy for me to remember.
Yeah, that's fun. That's 75 years, it's amazing to think back on just the successes in those years.
Yeah.
And experiences from both of you guys. And
thank both of you for all you've done and the dedication and and service to the this
labor
state.
Of love, right?
Thank you, gentlemen. Yeah. Thank you, Director Carter, for coming on today.
It's home week for sure, but thank y'all. Appreciate it very much, and for all that everybody does inside this agency.
Definitely. Well, thank y'all. Hey, this is Tennessee Wildcast. Keep coming back. Keep watching. Keep listening. Subscribe, like us, share us, and we'll see you next time.
Stay connected with TWRA by visiting our website at tnwildlife.org and follow us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Join us as we celebrate 75 years of conservation in our great state. You can invest in Tennessee's wildlife future by purchasing a license at GoOutdoorsTennessee.com. That's GoOutdoorsTennessee.com.